Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My friends, I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking. To talk with the comparatively few who understand the mechanics of banking, but more particularly with the overwhelming majority of you who use banks for the making of deposits and the drawing of checks. I want to tell you what has been done in the last few days and why it was done and what the next steps are going to be. I recognize that the many proclamations from state capitals and from Washington, the legislation, the treasury regulations, and so forth, couched for the most part in banking and legal terms, ought to be explained for the benefit of the average citizen. I owe this in particular.
This is the Real BS Show, coming back at you from another angle. Another angle. Guess what, Seth? How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah? Ain't seen you in a week.
I know.
The heck.
Where's my gold?
Where's your gold?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
They took it.
Check your watch. I didn't tell you, but what we were listening to was Fireside Chat. From FDR, from way back in the 40s, 1940s.
Right.
Where he stole everybody's gold. No, that was in the 30s. What am I thinking?
Yeah.
It was in the 30s. Yeah, during the Depression there. And they paid everybody $20 for their gold, $20 an ounce, and then they revalued the gold to $35. Make themselves richer. And but the real reason, Fireside Chat, because I started my own little business, little side business, called Bill's Seasoned Firewood. I got so much firewood, I said, what the heck? I keep piling it up and piling it up. And I said, well, I might as well sell this stuff. And so what I did is I cut it, you know, to the right size for wood stoves and fireplaces. And the people that have gotten the wood from me really liked it. So I got about 15 cords or so that are a year and a half old,
right?
Stacked and dried, and it's really dry, really ready to go. So I got some cards, and now I'm in business.
There you go.
All you need is some cards.
So you're seasoned Bill selling seasoned firewood.
Yeah, an old guy selling old wood. Well, the secret, not the secret, but I'm focused on home delivery.
Right.
And focused on smaller amounts, face cords, you know.
And
I mean, I'll sell more than that, but face cords, people can handle that, you know. They stack it up in their garage. It don't take up that much space.
And you're getting, you know, good exercise, and you're delivering to people that probably can't, you know, move the wood.
Right. Well, that was the reason I started making the wood smaller, is because my son, you know, had trouble putting wood in the stove. You know, he's in a wheelchair, so.
Right.
And people liked it. I mean, it was much better. And I agree, because it, you know, well, you know, you got some of that Spartansburg wood or whatever, and there's some big lumps in there.
You have to split it up. Yeah,
yeah, you got to do it. You got to split it some more. And plus, it was green. And,
yeah.
You know, I say, what the heck?
Yeah.
So I'm catering to folks that don't have trucks and, you know, don't need a lot of wood. Or
right.
If they want to buy a cord, fine. You know, that's fine. If they want to pick it up, that's fine, too. You know, save a few bucks. But more the home delivery, kind of like Amazon, you know, I just ship it right to your house. And I'll back up and I'll even stack it for them, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like a full service firewood delivery guy.
Right.
So, you know, and the bottom line is I got so much wood. I got probably 50 cords worth of wood cut. And so that's 150 face cords. But you know what? I don't almost don't care if I sell any or not.
Right, right. you honestly have so much wood that you probably would not run out for years, you know?
Oh, geez, no. I'll die before that's all burned up. You know, if I trying to use it myself, forget it. I'd have to be 200 years old. But I don't know. It just, I got all the stuff and I got everything I need and I'm debt free. I mean, it's just a matter of a little bit of labor, you know?
Right, right.
Which is good for me. I like being out in the woods and you know, it's work. There's no question about it. It's a lot of work.
Oh, sure.
But, and I even got my grandson helping me.
That's excellent.
I put him to work. I pay him $10 an hour to split wood. And I feed it. I bring the wood to him, you know, pile up on a conveyor behind him, and then I stack it as he's splitting it. And it's all I can do to keep up with him. You know, but it works. And I don't know. He's a good worker.
That's good.
I'm kind of shocked. I was surprised that he just, you know, I said, well, let's just do a couple hours. And at the end of the couple hours, he says, well, let's do some more. You know, I said, whoa, what happened? So I don't know. It's all good, you know.
Right.
So I go around, and I've been sprinkling cards around on bulletin boards and stuff like that at different stores and restaurants and post offices and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. I'm not really looking for a really big amount of customers. I'd just be nice just to get a few that kind of regular customers. And I'll, you know, take the broom and the dustpan and sweep up their garage when I'm done.
Right.
You know, the whole nine yards. Just try to do it really special. Full service, I guess you call it.
Right.
And then there's a chimney sweep, Penn, Ohio chimney sweep, or a chimney cleaner guy.
Right.
And he, all excited, he said, geez, people ask me all the time. And so we swap cards. Mm-hmm. So when I deliver some firewood, I leave off a few of these fire starters that make, you know, and put my card in there, and I put his card in there.
Right.
And sometimes, who knows, he installs fire wood stoves, and he, you know, relines chimneys and cleans chimneys, and he's been in business for 30 years. So.
Oh, wow.
He's got a truck, and it's all, he looked like he was really serious, but I mean, well, he's been doing it for a long time.
Right.
And he knows his stuff, so I said, what the heck, I'll put one of his cards in, too. So we're kind of like...
In tandem, yeah.
Yeah, handing off each other's advertising a little bit.
And that's some serious stuff. If people don't have their chimney cleaned correctly, you can get a major fire going. You know?
Yeah, well, that's something that you don't think about. People don't think about. But in that regard, a fireside chat, I mean, Roosevelt was telling everybody, trying to explain to him why he needed to steal their gold.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't come right out and say it. He just...
Justifying.
Beat around the bush about banking, try to explain banking to people back then. And,
right.
You know, a lot of people didn't trust banks. Well, they were right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's way back then, they were right.
That pulls some stories from my father's side of the family, and also my mother's side some. Is my grandfather, my father's side, would not put money in the bank, and neither did his wife, even... In the 90s, she was pretty old, but she wouldn't put money in the bank. So when they both passed away, and that was a few years difference between
the walls are stuffed with money?
Everywhere was money. I'm talking dollar bills, you know, not like just single dollar bills. I'm talking like 20 or more dollar bills.
You might have some silver certificates and stuff. You know,
who knows?
Back in the day when it was backed by something.
But they would have tons of... Everything, nook and cranny you could think of, the china closet, you know, the china had money under it. It was in socks, their socks, you know, in the drawers. So you didn't want to throw anything out. You had to go through everything. And I didn't know exactly why they were doing that. I knew they were older. You know, my grandfather was born in 1908. So he was old, you know. But I didn't know fully what was going on until... I end up reading on the Great Depression and reading that a lot of people did that. They didn't want to put money in the bank.
Well, they had their money in the bank, and then they couldn't get it back.
Yep, exactly. And so after that, people just didn't that grew up in that time or were alive during that time realized you can't trust the banks. You know, now we have, you know, the $250,000
FDIC and all that crazy crap.
Yeah. Who knows, you know, if that could actually be, you know, it's supposed to be protecting you. But
yeah, it'd take you 5 years to go through the system to try to get your money back. Right.
So, you know, there are some protections out there. But the reality is it happened and it could always happen again, you know. And we're seeing inflation. You know, we got people saying inflation is not an issue, but the reality is it is an issue. It's hurting the poor. Inflation hurts.
Well, it has been an issue, and it's going to be an issue big time coming up.
Sure. We're going to pay for it.
Yeah, all this. Yeah, fireside chat. So, okay, let's talk about this banking thing. I mean, I've been watching this, what's his name, Powell.
Yeah.
Fed chairman, man, I wouldn't. I mean, just looking at the guy, holy smokes, what a weasel!
Every single time he talks, it's like the money printer's going off. That's all I can think of.
Well, he says it doesn't matter how much money we print; it's not going to have an effect on the value of the dollar.
That's not true.
What? You know, why not give us all $1 million?
Yeah.
Give everybody make everybody a millionaire, and see what happens.
You know? Well, look even out. You know, we look at the COVID relief bills, the two different ones they passed, and the trillions of dollars they spent. Most of the money did not go to the common person. It went to corporations and their buddies. And
yeah, it had nothing to do with COVID.
Yeah. And you know, yeah, everyone's like happy they got their $12,000 or $1,200 or $1,400 stimulus check.
Yeah.
But the reality is corporations got even more, massively amounts more. And I'm not talking about small corporations. I'm talking about large corporations. They got massive amounts of money. And we're going to all pay for it. Your grandchildren are going to pay for it. Your great-grandchildren are going to still pay for that.
Have you been looking at this infrastructure bill?
Yep.
4% of it is for infrastructure.
Yep.
The rest is for electric cars and Green New Deal. I mean, it's so amazing. It's just, and they're calling for $10 trillion to be invented or, you know, brought out of thin air before the end of summer.
Yeah.
$10 trillion before the end of summer. I mean, where's this going?
Yeah.
Where's this going?
Do you know how much that it's not coming from anywhere. It's going off the backing of the value of the dollar. And as more
thin air.
And then as you add more dollar to amounts as you add more dollars to the market, it decreases the value drastically. Even the $1 trillion.
Well, they're saying no, it doesn't.
Yeah, that's a myth. Oh,
this Powell guy is saying that.
Yeah.
Now Bernanke, I saw back in 2006, I guess, before the housing bubble broke. Yeah. He's telling everybody everything's fine. We're all under control. Everything's good. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw clips of that.
Yep.
And then on Motley Fool or something, one of those were interviewing him just maybe a year ago, and he said, you know, and they played those clips for him, and he says, what in the world, you know, how do you feel now after you were completely wrong, 1,000% wrong? And he said, and I didn't see this anywhere else, I just seen it in that interview, nobody picked it up, he says you know, we're working for the government, so I kind of had to say what they wanted me to say.
Right.
Well, I thought the Federal Reserve was separate from the government and on their own. You know, So flat out, basically, he was telling everybody he was lying.
Yep.
That's. I mean, he's flat out admitted it. Nobody picked it up. Nobody.
You know, the sad thing is you had Peter Schiff, who predicted the housing crisis going to happen. That was going to happen.
Yeah, I kind of like that guy. I don't like his politics too much, but he tells it like it is.
Yeah. He was very – people criticized him extremely harshly when he tried making that prediction. And people thought he was a fool and that, you know, it's strong, the housing market's strong. And then when it came crashing down and then the bailouts and all that came after and we're paying for that still to this day, you know.
$900 billion. I mean, it's small pocket change now compared to what we're doing now. Yeah. It's nothing.
Well, You know,
when, but it was a big deal then.
I thought, you know, when Bush and Obama, both of them had stimulus packages.
Yeah.
I thought those were major deals and people just didn't care. And now you see trillions of dollars being thrown around and it's like still people don't care. I'm like, gosh, you don't realize, you know, you're living off the dream now, what this is giving. But in the next 5 years, next year, even with a $10 trillion one, it's going to have major drastic.
Trillions. We can't even imagine how much a trillion is.
It's going to devalue the dollar so much that with inflation.
Well, China's going to take over, or somebody's going to take over. The U.S. dollar is going to go downhill, and
well,
it's not going to be the reserve currency anymore.
Well, talking about that, we're dealing with another situation. This is military. I mean, is that okay if we go into that kind of topic a little bit about the military? Because this plays in the banking and inflation. It plays with the military, too.
Well, that's probably why the dollar is still the reserve currency, because of the military.
Yeah, and oil, yeah. But
it's not going to last.
We have to see that the U.S. military and NATO, I mean, includes Europe, have pivoted to the South China Sea. And that's been since Bush. Yeah, we were in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yeah, big time.
But we pivoted to China because early on they started recognizing China was building the military and trying to project into the South China Sea. Obama continued that. President Obama continued it. So people thought he was like, you know, going to bring our troops back and all that jazz. Never happened. He increased troops, actually, in Afghanistan and in Iraq. He increased them and also increased our presence in the South China Sea. And then when Trump got into office, President Trump also increased our presence South China Sea, because his, you know, everyone's advising him that's where the next potential conflict that could happen. Well, guess what? Biden did the same. President Biden goes in there. He's increasing our presence there, and he flat out says that China's a threat.
Now, yeah, China's his buddies.
Well, now here's the other problem.
They like him. I mean, they pretend. I mean, they treat him nasty. That Alaska conference was crazy.
Sure.
They just flat out read the riot act to them guys and made them look like fools.
Well, their argument, we can get into their argument, I thought was stupid, because they're claiming that since we committed all these atrocities that we have no room to speak. You know, the thing is yeah, the United States did a few horrible things in the history of our country, and many countries did. And I'm not playing a whataboutism. This is just reality. But China's currently running concentration camps with, you know, 2 million Uyghurs that are in China. They're Muslim, and they're being put in re-education camps and concentration camps.
Well, they harvest organs.
And they're harvesting the organs and all these other things, experimenting with them, and forced sterilization, and no one's batting an eye. Well, then you have in Ukraine, you have Russia building up troops there. And this is a hypothesis. I'm not saying that this is going to be what will happen. I'm just saying it's an idea. Is something's going to break, and Russia's going to start going into Ukraine, and then China's going to start going into Taiwan at the same time.
Impossible.
And I think this ties to banking, because both Russia and China have talked about making their own currency for the petro.
Well, Russia sold all their bonds that they held, our bonds, because other countries would invest in our bonds. In other words, the money the Federal Reserve was lending to the Treasury, and the Treasury issued these bonds. And I think the rest of the world has stopped buying our bonds to the point now that the Federal Reserve is buying them back.
Yep. Yep.
Which is crazy.
The payday is going to come. People are going to want their money. And
well, it's supposed to happen, yeah. I mean, after 30 years, you're supposed to get your money back plus 1.5-2% or whatever crazy number it is. I don't know how anybody could invest in a bond, especially a treasury bond, at those low. I mean, the rate of inflation, you know, CPI, which is a joke.
Yep.
Is like 2% or 2%, higher.
2%.
And they say, well, we're okay with 2%, maybe 3%, you know, because it's just transitory. It's just going to be for a little bit, and then it'll go back down. Well, number one, I don't know if you've been to Home Depot or any place.
Yep.
The lumber is doubled in price.
Yep, yep. I mean, there's many factors to that, but yeah.
Well, you know, you can blame COVID and all this other stuff, but the price has gone through the roof.
Yep.
Same way, you know, cars, used cars are going way up.
Well, that, we can go back to the Cash for Clunkers program. That killed the used car market in a lot of ways. When I was younger, before
it's booming right now. Let me tell you.
Before I was able to go buy a used car for very inexpensive.
Yeah, $1,000 beater.
Yeah, easily. You know? Yeah, and it would last me a good while. You'd fix it up and it'd be good. Now you're good luck finding that $1,000 car.
Yeah, yeah. It's worth more crunched up and sold for weight.
Right.
I don't know. It's just something's going to blow up here. It has to. I don't see how they can.
It's a joke that they think they can spend their way out of the problem. And the only reason the U.S. dollar has any values is because people put value on it. And the more you cause inflation to that dollar, the less value. You know, this is another thing that's kind of odd is, you know, when they were pushing for the $15 an hour for nationwide, I thought that's interesting.
Are they still doing it?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Think about this. If they cause inflation to drastically increase, the $15 an hour just will be equal to $7.50
anyhow. Throwing gasoline on a fire.
Yeah,
huh?
It's just you're going to be back to square one again. If you cause inflation to because it's going to, you're going to go from $7.25 an hour to $15 an hour. That's not going to cause inflation. But what's going to cause it is what's happening with their monetary policy is decreasing the value of the dollar. So when you have $15 an hour, it's going to be equal to $7.25 an hour from, 5 years ago. And we're seeing it now. You go back to – this is something I was going over with my father, the value of his house. He always would name a price point. Back in 1975 or 74, how much he spent on that house that he has, him and my mother –
$15,000, maybe
something like that. Yeah, but guess what? That value of the house now is the same. If you calculate $60,000 or something like that, if you go and calculate the inflation, it's the same value. $50,000, $60,000,
maybe now
is equal to $15,000 from 1974.
Oh, yeah.
And the reality is people think they increased their value of their house. They haven't. The U.S. dollar's lost value in that short time frame. That's a very short time frame. And that's the reality we are facing in. We are not paying attention to how much money is lost.
The prices are not inflating. The amount of money is inflating.
Yeah.
The money itself is inflating.
And that decreases the value.
Yeah, right, of the money.
Because there's nothing backing.
I mean, the real estate market right now is exploding.
Oh, sure. But we also can't forget the money's gone. So look at gas prices. You can see it.
Well, people are trying to get out of cities, too.
Sure. That's a big one, yes. It's interesting when you see that,
I don't blame them. Just don't come over by my house. That's all.
there's right now a mass exodus of people living in California.
Yeah.
They're going to Texas. They're going to Colorado. They're going to other states. It's very interesting to see that. And I'm not saying all the people leaving California are bringing policies, but many of the policies that some are bringing are basically going to end up being a repeat of what the problems that California has. And that's the problem. They need to drop their policies that they're running from and stop voting for that.
Well,
I'm talking about monetary policies and taxes, and I'm not talking about social things. I'm just talking about the taxes and everything.
Well,
I wanted to clarify
taxes
that.
Is another biggie. I mean, because Biden wants to, do away with. You're going to raise they're going to tax the rich big time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how successful that's going to be.
They'll just hide their money better.
Well, they got all the good accountants.
Yeah, sure. And
they're just following the rules. You know, Hillary Clinton, when she was debating Trump in one of those debates back in 2016. She's saying, well, you don't pay any taxes. You don't pay any taxes. And Trump looked at her. He said, well, that's because I'm smart. And it's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
These people, they borrow all kinds of money and play around with the real estate. Why do they do that?
But here's the reality.
It's a tax haven.
The reality is,
the government says, here's the rules.
Yeah.
You know, go out and now they're going to start paying everybody to solar, this and all these things. I mean, it's just, these rich people just play by the rules, and they got the world's best accounting people, and they know what they got to do to avoid paying taxes. He says, "Well, nobody under 400,000 is going to see any rate." That's crap.
It's going to
happen. That's the only people that's going to pay. If a corporation gets their if they attack a corporation, see General Electric or something like that.
Yeah.
Guess who's going to pay that tax if there is, you know, if
it's going to be the middle class and
it's going to be the stockholders.
Yeah.
You know, they get dividends. Yep. You get dividends from companies when you own stock. Guess what? There goes your dividends.
Yep. Boom. That's a retirement plan.
The company could care less. They say, okay, well, it's less for the stockholders. And here's the reason, because Biden raised, you know, increased the tax rates. So the CEO, he still gets his money, you know.
Right.
The pension plans and all these things that are invested in these corporations, they're not going to get anything.
Right.
You know, the government's going to try to steal it all.
And that's the reality. It's going to hurt the middle class.
Yeah, big time. Big time.
It's the same talk when
it all goes down to this little guy. You know, the more money they print, the poorer we get.
But that's actually who's paying most of the taxes. It's not the rich. It's actually middle class. Yeah. The rich don't. If you try to take every single bit of money from the rich, then there wouldn't be any more left for next year. It wouldn't pay for it. It wouldn't even pay the whole year off.
Well, the rich know what they're doing. And, you know, I mean, they're trying to stop this jumping from America and going to Puerto Rico or going to someplace, Panama or wherever, you know, to avoid all these taxes. They're trying to stop that. You know, Janet Yellen is trying to, let's get all the people in the world together and let's just have one big tax that we all pay the same.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, do you realize if you're in America and you make more than $34,000 a year, you are the
1%? 1% of what?
Of the world. And wealth.
The
global wealth. And some would say, but that's not talking about America only. Well, I say that's too nationalistic. I think if you don't look at it as a global situation and realize that if you are making more than $34,000 a year, 34 or more, then you are the 1%. If you don't realize that, then you're being blind to the global politics. And that's something that we need to take an account for that, you know, we're very blessed here. You know, it's a miracle that we have electricity going on everywhere in this country and it's being maintained and we're not having complete utter chaos, you know, and at the same time, there's those that think that we can just spend our way out of problems and think that would resolve everything. But the middle class is going to pay for it, and even the poor. You know, we look at countries like you go to Denmark, and people always will point to Denmark. They have very low corporation tax, very low corporation tax. You know who's paying for everything?
Well, income tax is pretty high there.
Yeah, it's like over 50%.
All this free medicine that you got to wait 6 months for.
But what I said earlier to you, and I'll say it again, look how well the United States vaccinated and how quick we're vaccinating people compared to other countries. Europe is suffering right now, horribly suffering, and they have universal health care there. Isn't that lovely? They can't even get vaccinated. We're vaccinating people left and right in this country. And then the reason is because we have the infrastructure and the production and the willpower to do it here. And that's because of capitalism. And people are trying to ignore that. But we have the might to do it and the money. So we should, you know, be counting our blessings.
Well, we got all the money in the world. I mean, they just keep printing it up. hey, call up the Federal Reserve. Hey, we need another trillion here.
$10 trillion is the other one, right?
Did you get your stimulus check?
Oh, sure, Bill. You know, we
did. You?
Yeah.
I did. I just got it.
It's crazy, you know, sitting there. It's
I'm an independent, so I was last on the list.
I look at it this way. You know, there's a certain point. You know, you pay enough in taxes that it kind of justifies getting some money back. But at the same time, I know where that money came from. So
only reason you get money back, you mean at the end, at tax season?
Well, I mean about the stimulus check. I consider that money back that I had to spend in taxes. But the reality is I also know where that money came from. It came out of the thin air, and it's causing inflation. So I feel guilt.
Well, they're getting it back through inflation. I mean, sure. The price. I just went and got deer corn again today.
Yeah.
Now, 2 months ago, it was $9.50 for a 100-pound bag.
Sure.
every 2 weeks I get another 100-pound bag. It goes up a buck and a half.
Yeah.
And today it was $14.
Yeah.
So those deer are going to get less food every day. I'll just say, sorry, guys, it's inflation.
It's really tough when you see that money coming in. People are gleeful about it, but I'm not gleeful about it. I know what that means. That hidden tax that's going to hurt the poor in the long run with inflation. That's the inflation, and we're going to pay for it.
I'm you know, they're saying there's no inflation. There's only 2% or a little higher than 2% now. Yeah. CPI is a joke. There's 10 different indexes that cover this stuff, and they picked the CPI, which was hand manipulated back in '98 under Clinton.
Yeah,
they took all. I mean, there's 10 million people that aren't on the job. They've been laid off or fired or unemployed for so long, they don't count anymore.
Nope.
10 million that don't count anymore.
Yep.
And they're saying, 6%, 7% unemployment rate, when it's really 15 to 20%.
Yep.
I mean, 10 million people don't count anymore.
And how about this?
Give me a break. Plus, immigration's going nuts.
So you factor in also with with our military, they're talking, by September 11th of 2021, we're pulling out of Afghanistan. I don't believe them anymore. I believe that we should bring our troops home. And, our troops deserve to be protecting our homeland here.
Well, I thought they weren't supposed to telegraph when they're leaving.
But the reality is, they're not going to pull the troops out of there. They're not. I don't believe it, because this has been every politician that has stepped forward and saying they're going to do that. Something comes up.
How come that he wouldn't let Trump do it? He wanted to do it, and they wouldn't let him.
He supposedly, you had Rand Paul. You know, he's a good guy. Rand Paul's a good guy. That's Ron Paul's son. He was trying to convince Trump to do it. And I guess from what Rand Paul said, that Trump just didn't do it. You know, that's what Rand Paul was basically saying.
Trump's the first president that didn't blow somebody up. I mean, blow up a new country, you know.
Well, yeah. The one problem with that is that Trump did remove the transparency report with the drones. So we don't know exactly the full number of drone attacks, but he did do quite a few.
We did one good one there, one big one.
So
Iranian.
Yeah, the general.
Soleimani or whatever his name was.
And so we're facing a problem now,
Nailed him at the airport.
Yeah, they did. They did.
I mean, that's bold.
But how long was it before Biden gets into office and he's right away droning in Syria? You know, it's like, the only reason... I mean, this is just me.
I don't think it's Biden. He ain't got enough sense to get out of the rain.
But you have to remember, Biden has always been pro-war. He was pro-Iraq. He was pro,
He's pro whatever people tell him. whatever the flavor is that day, that's what he is.
I just look at Syria and think, what a mess up that was. Russia backed Assad, and then, the United States decided to back some, what they called moderate fighters that were not like extremists, and it turned out they were extremists. And then what they would do is they'd hand money, again, our tax dollars or imaginary money, was handed over to buy weapons and send the weapons to Syria to these groups. And so they had to have, these rosters. And if they had a certain amount of people, then they'd get weapons and funding. Well, what these Syrians, they're not stupid. Here's an opportunity to make money, right? So they started making rosters, quote unquote, rosters. And so they'd make a new group here and a new group here, and it'd all be these fake rosters. And they were getting tons of money, millions of dollars, flooding into Syria to finance the fight against Assad, because the Russians were backing Assad. Now, I'm not going to disagree. I'm not going to say that Assad's not a bad guy. But the reality is, it's not our place. We shouldn't be over there messing around. We should be focusing on America. And I sit there and think about all the money spent to these quote-unquote moderate, these they weren't moderate groups. Some of them were pretty extremist. At one point, our weapons were getting into ISIS's hands. We basically kind of created ISIS.
That always happens.
And
everywhere we go, that's what happens.
And I just sit there and think, I don't think all Muslims are like that at all. But ISIS is a certain kind of evil that we kind of helped by our ignorance and desire to be the world police force. And here we are still fighting this situation. And now Biden says he wants to move away from being the police force of ISIS. But the reality is we're just moving to China because China's starting to project. And now Russia's doing their thing. And we have this potential with the global market.
Well, I tell you what, I don't sleep good at night when thinking that Biden's watching the court. Holy smokes.
They want to stuff the Supreme Court, you know.
They want Democrats. Well, they're taking these immigrants and they're flying them to cities. And matter of fact, Erie, Pennsylvania just got 800 immigrants from the children,
right.
Underage kids. 800 of them come to Erie and another 800 or 900.
But many are
to
still,
Michigan.
Many, let's not forget though, many are still in kid cages.
Yeah, Obama invented them, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. With Biden.
Then he tried to blame Trump for it or something.
But still, people, they're in kid cages and people are going to, I'm not going to let that down. I don't care what president it is, if they're R or D, it's the kid cages. That's what they are. I don't care. It's the fact.
I heard that Biden wants to finish the wall.
That's true. I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that's.
Well, the reality.
Gotta happen, but the money's already been allocated.
But
so.
here's the problem again with the wall. You know, you can get around a wall. You can get around the wall. There's a lot of places also that don't agree with the wall going through the property. So you will have gaps in the wall, regardless of what you do.
Well, it's almost done. It's really almost done.
Yeah. Well.
And
the reality
is. What a mess. What a giant mess.
But, you know, we look at this.
Can it get any worse? $15 an hour minimum wage, that's going to kill a lot of jobs. Unemployment's going to go through the roof.
I'm a big supporter of automation, Bill. You know this.
Well, that's just Mother Nature. It's going to happen.
We need to have automation on a scale that it causes people to realize, especially in the service industry. And we're starting to see it in like construction. We're starting to see it in manufacturing. We're seeing it in a lot of different industries with automation. Self-driving cars have progressed extremely far. Just a week ago, one of the companies, I can't remember exactly their name, have passed every measure driving on merging on interstates and merging in traffic in cities and you know, using multiple sensors with like LIDAR and radar and you name it. And that's going to kill a lot of jobs there.
Can those self-driving cars get away from a drunk driver?
They might be able to. Well, most collisions are actually side impacts. So with these LIDARs, they can tell how fast a car is coming, how fast it's moving, and then be able to predict that this car is
like
going to be.
Like a deer jumps out in front
of
you.
Yep, they can perceive them. They can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. You think that's going to eliminate all the deer
deaths?
Accidents?
Yes, I think. Let's say you side impact the car.
Sometimes they jump out so fast, you don't even have a chance to step on a brake, period.
But LIDAR sees through that. LIDAR can see through bushes and trees.
So every bug that's flying around back there is going to stop them?
Bugs, but deer, yeah, it'll prevent deer. They've already proven that. They've already shown that.
Well, it's, I don't know, this stimulus bill that they've got is just...
It's a joke.
You're going to have us all driving electric cars by 2030 or something. I don't know.
It's going to be a very tough proposal because what's a major component of electric cars? It's batteries.
Copper, nickel.
Batteries and silver. Lithium.
Silver is one of the best conductors there is, and that's why it's in all cell phones. And
but where are they going to get that from? That's the problem. It
comes from the ground.
Yeah, I know. But
big diesel machines digging holes in the side of mountains.
But there's not enough right now. They have to dig more.
No, they're so far behind now.
And so they're putting more money into
copper, too. I mean, copper's going to be needed big time. So I've been buying silver since 2005.
Well, don't be telling too many people, Bill.
Well, I think everybody should buy silver.
I agree with that.
Real money is silver and gold, I think.
Yeah.
Or copper. Copper's, you know, that's why they made pennies out of copper.
Yep.
It's cheaper. And then they made the silver stuff, dimes, quarters, and then they made nickels out of nickel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, real money was real stuff. It was real silver, you know. And 1964, I think they switched over and they started putting copper in dimes, quarters and half dollars and silver dollars. You started seeing that copper edge all the way around.
Right.
Well, I have a 63 dime, and you could buy a gallon of gas, 63. I think it was pretty close to a dime. Wasn't much more than a dime. But now, that same exact dime will buy a gallon of gas, and you have change left over.
Right.
That's just the value of silver.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you don't notice, with inflation, if you remove inflation, that value stayed consistent.
Yeah, that's all it did was, silver is pretty much like a hedge against inflation. But, I mean, you know, history, the Germans... After World War One, they all did the same thing. They screwed up their money supply, and boom, down they went.
Wheelbarrows.
Well, that one guy, he had a wheelbarrow full of cash, German whatever.
Yep, Mark.
And he parked his wheelbarrow out front, and he went in to ask directions, and when he came out, all the money was still there. The wheelbarrow was gone. Somebody stole the wheelbarrow. They left the money. And the money was worthless.
Yeah.
And the Romans did the same thing when they started cheating on their money.
Yeah. Boom.
Soldiers said, screw this. I ain't going to do this for imitation money. Forget it.
But this is the reality we're facing is with inflation, we're making our money become that. The only thing that's backing the U.S. dollar, like I said earlier, is our perception of its value. That's it.
Faith, yeah.
Yeah, the faith in it. That's it. Nothing. Do you want to take a break, and then we can come back?
Yeah, I don't know. You want to play a tune?
Sure.
We'll play a tune, and then we'll put the ashes out in the fireplace. And we'll put water on the fire.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's do that.
Down, I hear you breathing down.
All right, this is the real BS. Are you comfortably numb?
Comfortably numb, yeah.
After all that chit-chatting we did?
We had to numb ourselves.
Well, after watching these guys in action, I'm definitely numb. I don't know. I'll stay out in the woods and chop wood. It's the only thing that makes any sense to me.
Do you think that wood could have an inflation at all, like have too much wood?
Well, it's going to. No, not too much, but the price of wood's going to inflate.
Yeah.
My price, anyways.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, what the heck? So, I don't know. I'm going to invest in silver. I'm going to keep it up. I'll probably never spend it.
Did you've listed your prices before, right, on this podcast, have you?
No. I'm charging $110 for a face cord delivered and stacked.
How much in silver?
In silver? Oh, I'll give them a discount if they pay me in silver. It's either cash or silver. I don't want no checks. When them checks bounce, it cost me $35.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
And it wasn't my fault. It was the people wrote the check. Yeah. Then you got to chase them.
The best part is this is the crazy part, knowing how the banking system works and having experience in the debit and credit card networks, is with checks, they know if the money's in the person's account, because you can do a routing number and check account number check, especially if the Northwest check and you have Northwest bank account, then they can just automatically check for you. So the reason that they charge you $35 is because it's different banks. If it bounces, otherwise
I don't know, but it's a shocker when it happens. Then what do you do?
Right.
You got to go see a district justice and chase them.
Yeah,
they say, well, just put it back in again. It's okay. I say, right. Another $35?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forget it. So that's cash or silver. And silver rounds are probably $30, $30 to $35 a round right now for pure silver.
Right. Can you even find it?
Yeah, well, that's the other problem. I mean, the spot price might be $25. But you can't get it, and so the guys that got it are charging not $1 or $1.50 over spot like they used to.
Right.
They're charging $5 to $10 over spot, and they can get it because it's so scarce.
Right.
I mean, and it's going to get worse.
It's another one is, do you really trust buying silver off the internet?
Definitely not. No. I mean, there's bullion places. JM Bullion. There's Ampex, and there's places that are very reputable, Kitco and stuff like that.
Right.
There's a lot of them, but really most of them they say, well, it's going to be 2 weeks,
right,
a month,
right.
And you go to coin shops, and I have a couple that I really trust, but they're not cheap.
No.
So
I don't think it's going to get any better.
Well, you want to make sure you're getting real silvered. That's right. You got to take your magnet with you and make sure the magnet falls off the coin, So
right.
For some reason, silver is not very magnetic at all.
No.
But the copper coins are. They, the imitation silver.
Have you ever found one that was? Not-
yep. I did out in Northeast. There was a place there, and I bought 2 ounce rounds, four of them. And they were all full of copper.
Really?
Yeah.
So what'd you do?
I just played it. I took them back.
Yeah.
And they checked them and said, yeah, you're right. This isn't silver.
Wow. That's crazy.
But that was back when it was $5 an ounce,
Right.
2005 or 6 or someplace in there.
So you bring a magnet now with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, huh? A little neodymium magnet.
Yeah, just to make sure.
Well, not a couple places that I go. I trust them, and it has to say on the coin, it has to be stamped under 999 or pure silver, 1 troy ounce.
Right.
It has to say all that stuff. If it doesn't say that on the coin, don't buy it, period. So.
It's kind of crazy, though, you think about it, that's not something new that people are doing. They've been doing that since the ancient times,
Oh, yeah.
You go back to the, Bronze Age and everything. People were doing that all the time to fake out their money. The Babylonians had laws against it. What would happen if someone tried to cut the silver with something else? They'd cut their hands off,
Well, it's, in the Bible, I think they use silver to... tracked down Jesus, didn't they?
They the paid. Guy, they paid. They paid Judas.
Yeah, silver, Judas. Yeah. 30 whatever things of silver.
Yeah.
Huh. So yeah. Silver and gold have been around a long time.
Yeah, it's been around probably about 6,000 years. Yeah.
I mean, as soon as Nixon took us off the gold standard, it went from $35 and, you know, a few years later it was $800 an ounce.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how fast it went.
Yeah.
So now it's up around, getting close to probably 1,700. It's been over 2,000, but I think it's going to go a lot higher. It's going to be $5,000, $10,000 an ounce.
What's going to happen real soon? We start mining.
A year or two.
What's going to happen when we start mining asteroids? And they're going to be filled with silver and precious metals. That's going to cause the market to drastically drop in value.
You think?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Well, how many people got a rocket that can go out and mine an asteroid?
There's about like six different companies that are trying to do this, so it's not unique.
Well, it ain't cheap.
No, it's not, but with SpaceX...
I think you go to Mexico and drill a hole in the side of a mountain, it'd be cheaper.
True, but when you factor in SpaceX is getting down to the point where the rockets are getting less expensive to launch off, and you have a robot that sits there and can sit there and mine an asteroid for as long as possible, and the technology is ready there. They can land on rockets, and we know there's precious metals on it. Heck, the Egyptians, you know, one of the older kingdoms, they made the first iron weapons out of a meteorite, the iron in the meteorite, and they considered it divine, you know. And so we're looking at some potential future. I'm talking like, let's say, in the 50 years or 60 years, where mining asteroids is going to become more common.
Well, I don't think I'll be around.
No,
then.
You never know.
My kids will be fighting over my silver.
But the reality is that's something that's potential. And I think it, because right now we're getting some precious metals from countries that are not necessarily probably a good place to get metals from. And it's just my perspective, at least. You know, I think some of them are pretty brutal.
Well, it's buyer beware, just like it's supposed to be, you know.
You know, there's a reason why diamonds, I think diamonds are the most valueless thing that you could ever buy. People think you can get, that's one of the ones is, you know.
I wouldn't know a diamond if it bumped me on the head.
Well, people will buy, you know how expensive they are to buy, right? There's rings and everything.
I don't know.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
But when you try to sell it, it doesn't carry the same value. So, because the actual value of diamonds is actually quite low. It's not high. Whereas silver, it does carry its value if you try selling it. It doesn't lose its value.
It's going to get more expensive because there all this Green New Deal and all this.
Sure.
It's going to be, and there's only a finite amount of silver in the ground anyway.
Sure.
So
you can't manufacture it. You can't.
Rate we're going another 20, 30 years, there won't be any more. They won't be able to find any more.
No.
So, plus, unless you dig into a waste management dump someplace and mine all the phones and computer parts that are laying
there's
there.
There's people doing that. You know?
It's a lot of work for a little bit of silver.
On YouTube, there's a guy, there's two different guys. There's Red Nile. Or Nile Red, I'm sorry. It's Nile Red, and then there's Cody's Lab. And both those two have taken computers and used some very nasty chemicals
to separate the gold and silver.
But it's extremely nasty stuff, and it's not a process.
Well, when the price gets up there high enough, they'll do it.
Yeah, remember in my office, you remember the one section, there was all those computers?
Yeah.
I ended up, for a bit there, I was worried I wasn't going to get anybody to come get them. Because I didn't want those computers anymore, and recycling them are not cheap. But I ended up finding a person that was one to do that. And he ended up taking all the computers. And I warned him, like, it's a lot of it's toxic material. They're not going to be able to recycle it or throw it away. But he was able to break it down and separate all the stuff from toxic to non-toxic. And I don't remember how much he got out of it, but I never contacted him after that. So I don't remember how much he exactly processed out of all that, but it was probably worth a good bit because there was a lot there. But I see that happening. Yeah, I can see that happening. Somebody going through and
the price goes up. You know, the higher the price, the more drastic people get. So
yeah,
I don't know. Well, this is the fire's almost out in the fireside chat here. So what do you think we accomplished today? Anything?
hopefully enlightening a little bit.
You know? I mean, to me, it's just, it's when you say comfortably numb, that's exactly what I think when I see these bubbleheads. I mean, it's like they're all communists or something. It's just, that's where we're headed. You know, it's just Bernie Sanders is running the, what's he, he's ahead of the finance committee in the Senate. Are you kidding me? His honeymoon was in Moscow.
Yeah, he never had a job.
And he's touting Cuba, saying how wonderful they are, their system. I'm thinking, whew, man. And he's in charge. It's just unbelievable.
Sure.
It's just unbelievable.
It's messed up.
Something's going to have to give. And either we get our country back or it's just going to get more and more in the dumps. Because eventually we'll end up like Venezuela.
yeah. You know,
or what's that other place, Zimbabwe or something?
Yep.
They all screwed with the money supply, and that's what happened.
Yep. And now they're using the U.S. dollar.
I don't know. Everybody's supposed to be, supposedly is, but, you know, they're breaking away.
Oh, I mean, Zimbabwe, you know, even though they inflated their currency to the point it was not usable, they switched to the U.S. dollar as their currency for their country completely. They don't have their own currency anymore. You know, there's a few other countries that do that too, but, you know, they're probably not, it's not good. I don't think it's good at all in the long term.
I don't know, to each their own. And I don't know. I think it's getting to a point where a lot of rich people left the country,
right,
moving to other places, but I think it's getting to the point where there's no place to go anymore. I mean, Australia was a good place, but then the Australian government started giving Chinese people $50,000 to move to Australia, and they took them up on it. So now they're in a pickle. I mean, they're in a real mess. So real estate's getting out of sight. So there'll be another housing crash coming.
I believe it.
Yeah. So on that happy note, let's play a song and say goodnight.
All right.
And this is no comparison to FDR's Fireside Chat, but... Yeah. Hey, if people enjoy listening to our babbling, then we'll do it again sometime.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll keep it rolling.
Keep it rolling.
It was a beautiful day. Sun beat down. I heard the radio on. I was driving. Possible. Hit cruise control and rub my eyes. The last 3 days and the rain was unstoppable. It was always cold, no sunshine. I'm picking up.